If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
For anyone getting into the business and wanting to figure this thing out, you have to figure out something deeper and more rooted than just money or even freedom. And as you're learning, make sure that you're giving back and teaching others because it will make you better and stronger. And then that purpose will sort of keep driving you when things get down, when it's difficult and it's challenging and all of that, right?
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Founder and CEO of Sterling Rhino Capital, Chris Roberts has been a full-time entrepreneur investor since 2007. He owns and operates a sales and marketing company and also runs a property management business that controls his own rental property. He is a minority partner in a point-of-sale software company, Hitrec Point of Sale. He has a proven track record of building successful businesses, and each of his rentals or flips have realized higher than average returns. He has renovated, flipped, and held about 12 single-family residences as well as raw land. Chris holds investments or shares in over 2,000 multifamily units across the country. He and the Sterling Rhino team recently closed on a 112-unit value-add property in Georgia and a 104-unit property in Virginia. Chris, hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, Sam? Good to see you, man.
Hey, thanks for coming on today. It's such a pleasure to interview a veteran like yourself that has so much experience across so many business industries, not just real estate, but a lot of different industries. And I'm just pumped to get in and dive in on your story. Can you tell us a little bit about where you started, where are you now, and how you got there?
Absolutely. Well, Sam, I appreciate the opportunity to share, and I would love to tell the how to scale listeners how they can grow their business as well. It's not easy to build a business at all in any way, shape, or form, whether it's a pizza joint or, you know, like a medical facility or real estate. It all takes a ton of work. And for me, it started off with sort of a vision or a purpose, a mission statement, if you will, a why. It didn't start really early. I just knew there was something missing. I wanted more. Just like most of us was grinding, working, hustling extra hours and thought, man, I just don't feel like I'm getting what I'm putting in. I didn't feel like I was getting a return on my time. And as I explored more in life and started learning more about that, you know, that return on time, it was kind of that, you know, a lot of people say, you know, why would you mow your lawn if you can afford to have someone do it? If you can go out and produce more income with your time than mowing the lawn. Nothing against lawns, love mowing them, but they're right. It's like, why would you do that if you could pay someone to do that? That's their expertise and that's what they get paid to do. Mm-hmm. Same thing with me and building real estate and everything else that I've done. I just realized, you know what? I don't mind working 16 hours a day. I'll work 8 hours on my craft and on my skill sets, let's say sales and marketing. And then I'm going to spend another 8 hours building my extra streams of income, right? My passive cash flow or other businesses that can subsidize if an event occurs in my life that derails me. And so I had this early motivation. And that basically started me on the path of building businesses and then eventually getting into real estate and scaling.
Gotcha. Did you have mentors along the way that kind of coached you in this? Or did you were you just born with that natural gift of, you know, an interest in business and said, hey, man, this is, you know, and look, there are those people out there that just are born with that. So, you know, I'm just curious how you went from, hey, I don't want to trade my time for money to now I'm growing businesses.
Yeah, well, good question. It's hard for me to answer directly. I would say it this way. I would say, I believe everybody has specific skill sets. We all have talent. We all have value to give, right? In some way, shape, or form. The challenge for us is identifying it early enough to take action and make something of it, right? Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, you'll hear people say when they get older, yeah, you know, I wish I would have done this, or I'm really passionate about that. But they worked at this job for 40 years and they're sore and they're tired and they're, you know, and you go, wow, well, why didn't they, right? They didn't have the courage. They didn't have the support. They didn't, who knows what, right? That Jack Canfield has this thing, everything you want is on the other side of fear.
Right.
And I just love that because it's like, they're so right, you know?
Right.
So exploring the opportunities within ourselves, sometimes we just got to take the leap. And so for me, no, I mean, yeah, sure. I sold candy at school and, you know, I had the lemonade and I did all the stuff that probably most kids explored when they were younger, right?
Sure.
But as far as entrepreneurial itch, it's when I got mentors and started reading books and they started to draw out of me some of the talents that I just couldn't see. And that's where I took it to the next level.
Gotcha. So what was the first business? And then how did you take that business and then transition into real estate? Or has real estate always been part of the story?
The earliest business I had was, and this is 100% true story, it's funny. My friend's mother worked at a candy factory when I was in third grade, and she came home with these trays of candy. And the long story short, really, is she gave us all a couple trays of this candy, and it was like the lottery. And everyone started eating the candy at my friend's house, right? And the first thing that came to my mind was, how can I sell this stuff? How can I make money on this stuff? So I took it to school and I sold it. And I actually made quite a bit of money in third grade. I don't remember what it was. It was like $4 or something, 25 cents a piece or whatever it was. But my mom asked me what I did, and she took it at first because the teacher called her and all this stuff.
Sure.
But then she eventually gave me my money back and said, hey, that's how you start a business. That's how, and it sparked something in me. It was funny. Then the next thing was a little car wash where I hired one of the neighborhood kids in fourth grade. And I just started doing things like that. Now, my first real business as an adult in life was really in the furniture space, you know, opening up brick and mortar furniture stores and just diving into that. And then quickly realized that the time consumption there, just, I wasn't utilizing my time 7 days a week, 20 hours a day. It's like, I didn't have anyone to really help. And I realized I wanted to be on the wholesale side of things.
Sure.
And then that's when I really accelerated in that career and drove my sales and marketing company. So.
Gotcha. So your sales and marketing company was tied to the furniture business. Mm-hmm. Are you still involved in that?
Yeah, I'm still involved in it. Today with Sterling Rhino Capital, we have six team members. And I'm the CEO and founder. And two of my partners are retired. One retired at 43 just a couple of weeks ago. And so he's a rock star, but that's what multifamily does for you. You know, it gives you opportunity if you plan it correctly. I'm in a position where I could probably do that as well, but I really truly love what I do, and I'm very well diversified and I have fun with it, and they all help each other, these certain businesses that I run. So I put a lot of time into the multifamily space, but it's that extra time I was speaking of in the beginning. It's, I work my 8-hour job, so to speak. And then I have 8 hours of working on my other crafts and my other multiple streams of income and things of that sort.
Right. So how did you transition from, hey, I'm a guy in the furniture space, now I'm a wholesaler of furniture, to now I'm interested in, obviously in that brick and, you were buying, I'm assuming, brick and mortar buildings or leasing them or doing something along the way. But then how did you transition into multifamily?
Yeah. So ironically, I was not in real estate at that time, but I did see the power of the real estate piece when you own brick and mortar, because I dealt with owners when you're leasing buildings and such, right?
Sure.
So for me, getting into real estate at that time was not really on the radar. It was more, okay, I run a business. That's the American dream. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. Am I running it, or is it running me? Like, no, it's definitely running me. This isn't the dream for me, right?
Right.
I mean, understood. Like, I'm working my fingers to the bone. Like, this is crazy. So that's when I realized, okay, what I need to do is figure out how I can get into a field where I can utilize my skills to get paid maximum, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who can pay me a lot of money for my skills, knowing that I put in extra hours. I work harder than most people around me. I'll do the extra work. I'll work as a team player. I'll strive to outwork pretty much everyone around me, but I want to get rewarded for that. And that's when I transitioned from being a brick and mortar owner into a wholesaler. And it was long, long hours, but I was rewarded handsomely. Hmm. From there, I lived below my means, took all those funds I was generating, and then started to look at, okay, where's the passive cash flow? Where's the diversification? Where can I make my money work the hardest for me?
Right.
And I played in stocks and did other things, but that's really when I got into real estate.
Gotcha. So did you start in real estate as a passive investor or as an active investor?
I started on a small level as an active investor. And what I mean by that is, I don't know, maybe 2005-ish or so, I bought some land parcels over at the coast, flipped those, you know, made, you know, $20,000, this kind of thing, and then bought a single family residence for myself. And then from there, when the 2008 crash hit, I bought a couple of foreclosures shortly thereafter. And then started to learn more about the flipping business. Didn't really dive into flipping, but renovated them. 100,000 I bought them for, put 20,000 in, rented them for a couple of years, then flipped them for 160, 170, this kind of thing.
Sure.
And I started to learn that if I did that every 6 months, wow, I could create a ton of passive cash flow, but it wasn't scalable.
Right.
And so that's when, at some point, having a great conversation with a friend, I decided I need to exponentially grow this thing and scale. And that's where we took the leap. So yeah, and I've done construction and stuff too, you know, new construction things.
Sure. And that's a traditional path. I mean, I think that's probably 80 to 90% of our story is we start there and suddenly we figure out the limitations early on. And so then you went into multifamily, right? When you did that, again, were you an active or a passive investor in multifamily?
So when I got into multifamily, I joined a mentor program to put bumpers on me because I've had some success in business and real estate as well. But this is a big deal. This is millions and millions of dollars. And I really had my focus on syndication, which is, you're obviously responsible for lots of other people's money as well. Sure. I'm very good with money. I have 851 credit score, I think. I mean, I've got it together, but it's just, you know, it's a big deal. And I wanted to make sure I had those bumpers on. So I joined the program. And I also passively invested while I was in the program, not even with that group, but across the country in about 2,300 doors. And today I'm invested in about 2,300 doors across the country. Wow. Right. And great. I learned a lot through that process. Yeah. Sure. And then got into my first deal within a few weeks, next deal. And now we're rocking. We're looking at multiple deals and yeah. So passive and active.
Right. Now you're doing active. So what are some, I've heard two key lessons. One, find out your strengths early. Join a mentorship group. And I think there was a third one in there. I'm probably missing it. But what are some key lessons that you've learned along the way? If you could go back to your previous, you know, early on self and say, hey, here's some things you want to know as you're growing into this.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really important to have a purpose. And what I mean by that is a lot of people say, well, what's your why? You know, what's right. your vision? What's your, and it's usually money, right? It's like, sure. I want to make a bunch of money or I want freedom. Okay, great. You know, for me, I grew up pretty humble beginnings, you know, as a young person. And always had this drive in me. I can't even explain it, quite honestly. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people about it. They're like, I don't get it. I don't know how you work the hours. I don't know how you have the energy. I mean, where does it come from, right? And I think it comes from that early upbringing of really wanting more and wanting to add value and just wanting to be worthy of something. Mm-hmm. And so for me, my why was, I don't ever want to struggle again as a young person. I want to have my own freedom. And it wasn't even really about money. And the reason this is important is, my why and why I drive and why I push and all this stuff is because not only do I never want to have to worry about that stuff again, but I want to teach others how to do that. Now, we don't sell mentor programs today or anything, but I really truly love sharing all that value, all that stuff I've learned, those struggles, challenges, and helping others grow. And so here's what I would say for anyone getting into the business and wanting to figure this thing out, you have to figure out something deeper and more rooted than just money or even freedom. And as you're learning, make sure that you're giving back and teaching others because it will make you better and stronger. And then that purpose will sort of keep driving you when things get down, when it's difficult and it's challenging and all of that, right?
That's golden. That's an absolutely golden nugget. If we hear nothing from this interview except for what you just said, then take that home. Did you experience any pitfalls, surprises, things, bad advice along the way?
Well, here's another thing. It's hard when you're learning to not like go 20 directions, right? People are right. throwing everything at you and you're sure. like, well, do I do this? Do I underwrite these deals first? Do I learn how to negotiate with broker? What do I? So what I tell people is, look, if you're passionate about something, it's like Eric Thomas talks about. It's like, you know, if you want success more than you want to breathe, you're held underwater, you'll be successful. Like you're fighting to get out from underwater, right?
Right.
If you believe that in yourself, you're like, I have to have this more than I have to breathe, then you'll get there, right? But it takes a tremendous amount of work. So what I tell people is you really got to buy in. Don't say because you worked an hour a day on multifamily that you're going to be a successful syndicator. There's no way. Right. You better put in 4 to 6 hours a day on your craft and you'll somehow figure it out. You'll struggle through. So I've had a lot of bad advice. And what I've done is I've taken all the advice and I've educated myself and I've said, what makes sense? And usually what makes sense to me is following the data, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just a piece of one-off advice. It's following the data, analyzing everything and saying, I want to buy in that market. I want to buy that type of property. I'm going to hire this type of person because of references and so on. And I think that's critically important because you can get drawn a million directions and go nowhere and just run in the sand.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. As you've grown, what other than dipping into your own proceeds from your business, have there been key financial strategies you've used along the way?
That is a fabulous question. And here's what I'm going to tell you it started with. It started with me saving my car payments, okay? In order for me to get into the space and have capital, not just money I made, because let's face it, everybody doesn't have $100,000 a year in disposable income from their sure. jobs, right? Sure. I mean, how are you going to get started? Oh, you can start with no money. I don't know about that, man. I mean, sure, maybe it's possible, but it's much easier with a little capital. I drove my same car for 12 years and had 450,000 miles on it. I saved all those car payments for the additional 7-8 years after I paid it off. Wow. And that's how I actually put money down on my first piece of property, my first foreclosure. That's what propelled me. That was a very creative way of doing things, living below your means and building up that capital. And then I also utilized very early on other people's money. I would say to somebody, hey, if you don't have the know-how and you want to get in on a piece of property, I'll pay you. I'll just give you a number at the time. Short term, 9%. Give me 50,000. Let's buy this property together kind of thing. When I ran out of money, because you only have so much when you own the asset, right? You're not flipping them. And we did. I thought, this is amazing. There are people out there that actually don't want to put any time in and have a little money sitting off the side. So it's getting creative, seller financing, building relationships with brokers, good credit. There's so many ways you can get into this business, but you have to attack it at multiple angles. It's not just one way.
Right. That's fantastic. Chris, I need to jump into the final four here. We could go on for a couple hours. This is fantastic. And I absolutely want to have you back on. So Great. Let's jump into the final four. Sure. If you were to distill, if I came to you and said, Chris, I need one piece of advice, and that's all you could give me. So distill everything you know into one piece of advice to an aspiring investor, what would that be?
I mean, there's lots of ways to spin this, but 100%, I would say that the main focus would be to surround yourself with people that complement your weaknesses. Mm. Now, that could be adding team members, right? Or it could be, you know, mentors or whatever. But if you don't do that, you're never going to identify your weaknesses to help you grow your business exponentially. Critically important.
Yeah, that goes back to Hunter Thompson, who always says, who, not how.
Yeah, so, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so investing in yourself, what's one thing that you do to stay on top of your game?
I keep my vision plan and my goals regularly in front of me. My offices are full of inspirational sayings and boards, and just, I'm always listening to inspirational stuff. I read, I listen to a lot of audiobooks, and I just, that's how I stay focused, is the end in mind, the vision. We want to feed 1 million people through our charity thing we're doing. And I mean, that kind of thing, you know, so those things continue to drive you. You have to have a vision and you have to keep pushing to that. Don't just get lazy and go, oh, I couldn't hit that goal, so I'm just going to forget about it for a while. Stay very, very focused on your vision and your plan.
That's fantastic. And talking about your charity, Investing in the World, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Well, we're trying. We always try to make the world a better place, whether it be by just adding value on podcasts or just sharing with somebody on a one-on-one level. But one thing that I hold near and dear to my heart, because I literally stood in food lines when I was a kid, is feeding people. So I partnered with Feeding America a while back when I wrote my book, and all the book, 100% forever, all proceeds go to Feeding America. And what's great about that is Tony Robbins is also an enterprise partner like I am. And so he matches every dollar that we donate. So every time we get a dollar that goes into the funnel, it feeds anywhere from 10 to 20 people, 10 every dollar, 20 with Tony Robbins match, right? So every book sale feeds somewhere between 20 and 80 people. It's really incredible. Yeah.
That's fantastic. On your book, what's the name of your book?
You've Earned It, How I Refused Anything Less Than Success, and You Can Too. And it's on Amazon, audio, paper, all that. Again, 100% goes to charity. We fed 177,000 or so people so far with a goal of 1 million.
That's awesome. So if you're listening to this, go buy that book online and do something awesome. How can people learn more about you?
You can find us all over the place. The primary place is sterlingrhinocapital.com. We encourage you to go there and download our real estate early retirement calculator. It just compares the stock market to multifamily, and it's pretty enlightening. My partner built it. It's phenomenal. And then you can find me at chris@sterlingrhinocapital.com on my email or Facebook. We've got an investor think tank on Facebook, and then YouTube. Got to subscribe to YouTube. We've got a ton of videos on there. We're educating people. We just did a great one on the calculator. So I encourage you to go to YouTube for sure and subscribe.
And that's Sterling Rhino, S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G.
Yep. Sterling, like sterling silver, rhino, like the animal, and capital, like funds, money.
Right. Not O-L-A-L, capital. Yeah. Right. That's awesome. Hey, Chris, thanks so much for coming on today. Do appreciate it. This has been awesome, and look forward to doing this again sometime soon.
Yeah, Sam, I really appreciate the time, man. I hope we've added value. And hey, everybody, get out of your own way and go out there and rock some real estate.
You heard it. Thanks, Chris.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor, and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.